We're waiting for Lou to jump back on. We're teaching. There she is.
Oh.
She's jumping in. We were showing her how to get her camera set up on her iPhone.
She's hi there.
You got audio. We're live, by the way, Lou, just to give you a heads up. So,
okay.
So are you going to mess with the camera or are we just going to go just do audio? I mean, really?
I'm still messing with
it. Oh, there you are.
How about
we got
that?
Lou.
Hi, Lou.
Hi.
How you been?
I'm good. You know, hire the old. They're fun to watch with technology. You know, just, I'll tell you. We've been, we put in a new computer system at work.
Yeah.
And it's, the software is mind boggling. Everybody is just lost. And I don't feel bad because all the young guys feel lost too.
Well, we're excited to have you on the podcast. We're going to talk a lot about radio and also what you've been up to. And you got some new stuff happening, too, with going back on the air. But you've kind of figured out the way that we have, which is, you know what? It's great to do part time. So we'll find out what's up with Lou. And we're excited to have you all join us tonight on our Guys Not on the Radio podcast.
Drop what you're doing. Make this a priority.
And now, it's time for Guys Not on the Radio with Shap.
He's a party on skates.
And JC.
The little girly man.
Shap.
If you stuck a lump of coal up his ass, in 2 weeks you have a diamond.
And JC.
They think he's a righteous dude.
Is this it? I mean, is this... two bowls of M&Ms and some balloons. You know what, Phyllis? I think you need to step it up. Because if I'm not mistaken, we gave you your wedding shower here. We all came into this room and gave you a golden shower.
That's disgusting. You are fake news.
You're killing me, Smalls.
It's Shap and JC and the Guys Not on the Radio podcast.
Well, that sets up. I'm going to see a man about a wallaby.
Welcome to the podcast, Lou and Lindsay. Glad to have you join us finally after what? We've been doing this for quite a few years.
And well, yeah, I was wondering when you were finally going to invite me. It's starting to feel like, you know, secondhand luggage or something.
Well, we're excited. Well, we usually typically try to wait till people are off the air before we bring them on here. Just so
I've been off for quite a while.
I know. I think
like 10 years.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Cause you were at LPO for many years. I know you had track record of Joliet radio station stuff before that, but then you went over to ZOE for a little bit.
I did for a short period of time.
Okay. How long were you on WZOE for?
About 2 years, kind of on and off because I started there. And then I broke my hip. And so they kept my job open for me. And then when the rod that they put in my leg from the hip surgery broke out of the bone.
Oh, my goodness.
I went back to the hospital. And that's when I was told I was no longer needed while I was laying in the hospital bed.
I've heard some bad ones, but bad that. That's awful.
Pretty rough.
Let's put it this way. It was a big low spot.
Yeah. Well, and then, so let's rewind and everything else. When did you officially go into broadcast? How long have you been in the field?
Since 1979.
And did you start in Joliet then, or where'd you start?
No, I started in Morris, Illinois.
Really?
Actually, I started in Lincoln, Illinois at Lincoln College. That was the first radio station I was ever on the air at. It was WLNX. It was the college station. Lincoln College, not Lincoln Community College. There was two of them at the time.
What kind Lincoln of format College was it?
Lincoln College is now gone completely. They've closed their doors, but...
was there a format on your station there, or was it just kind of open?
It was kind of college open, you know? It was an actual broadcast station, but it was pretty crazy. It was kind of whatever you wanted when you were on the air. And then I came home my first summer after my first year in college, and I went to the local radio station with all the guts that you have when you're, you know, new in radio, and said, I'd like a job here for the summer. I've been on the air. And they said, okay, do you know how to do logs? I'm like, oh.
You probably had to have a broadcast license, too, I bet, on top of everything.
I do have a broadcast license, actually. I'm one of the few that...
Sorry.
What did you do, JC?
I realized I did not plug in my...
I think we lost JC for a second here.
Yeah, hang on.
I think that's what happened.
Crazy.
So, broadcast license. Now, what's like? You mean in order for you to actually go on the radio, you had to have a specific license,
to have a third class license.
Yeah. You had to pass a test, right?
Yes, you had to go to Chicago to take the test.
I see. So just like which you know makes sense because you know there's a lot of careers that you do. You need to be licensed in order to actually like. I'm an insurance agent right now. You have to pass and have a license in order to do that. There's a reason because there's a lot of things you have to be able to understand to actually sell insurance because it's pretty complicated. But
at the time, I think it was because you had to take transmitter readings. Those were considered federal documents because they were viewed by the FCC, you know, so you had to know a little bit of the engineering end of radio to be a radio person then.
did they make you pass this test and did they do prep services for it so you could pass the test? Did you have to watch a clip of George Carlin's Seven Dirty Words or
no? I actually had a class. I went to Lincoln College, and Lincoln College had broadcasting classes and I took the broadcasting classes. You couldn't be on the air at WLNX unless you had a broadcasting class. And so, you know, as soon as I got through my first semester, I was on the air right away. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I had a teacher. They talk about teachers, whether teachers inspire you or not, you know. I had a teacher in grade school, eighth grade. We had to reiterate the preamble to the Constitution, memorize it, and, you know, get up there and recite it. And when I did, the whole class was real quiet. And the teacher said, I know one day I'm going to see you doing the nightly news. And it stuck with me. And so when I got to high school, all I could think about was going to college to learn broadcasting, you know, to be an announcer. I was going to be, you know, I grew up in the shadow of Chicago, just south of Joliet. And I was going to be the next Larry Lujack, you know, or Catherine Johns. Catherine Johns was, a big person to model yourself after if you were a female in broadcasting. You know, Yvonne Daniels was another one that was, you know, kind of a inspiration for me. And when I first got into radio, it was really an old boys network. You know, I was one of the few females at the radio station. There was like a receptionist that was a female and a couple of sales ladies that were females, but everybody else on the air were all guys.
So now you're about 30 years too young, or you were so above the time. You were 30 years before the time, because now it's like pushing, you know, to have more equality in the workplace, obviously, and radio is no different. I mean, there are still certain areas where it's still an old boys club. I mean, especially things like sports talk radio, but.
I just saw that Valerie Geller is on Broadcast Inc. Magazine this month, and one of the things that they're talking about is women in broadcasting and why there are fewer women in broadcasting than ever before.
Really?
Yes.
Fewer than ever.
Fewer. Well, not like the 70s, but I mean. It's really gone down since the 80s is basically, you know, there were a lot of women on the air in the 80s and 90s, but it's definitely a decline because women just aren't doing it.
Well, I think part of that has to do with it doesn't pay very well to be on radio unless you make it really big. And then when you do.
A lot of the women are like me. They were, you know, were single. You know, so there wasn't like a two income family or anything like that. They were staying single long. Women are staying single longer. And because of that, they're just not getting into radio as much. Because they need something that can support them. They can find jobs. They can find jobs that pay much better than radio.
Well, plus you also got, you've got situations where I'm just thinking to recent example, like on 101.9 The Mix a few years ago. And, you know, with Eric and Kathy in the morning and when then it became, you know, Eric in the morning with Melissa or whoever. And I mean, Eric was the one making the big bucks. And I think that was, there was a lot of other things behind the scenes that were not all that great.
But in knowing a lot of the women I do in radio, like it seems like they've gone through a ton of Me Too stuff, you know, from the way in which they've been treated by management. Cause it's a boys club. I mean, I can tell you stories about when I first started in radio, you know, and you know, it was 100% an all boys club.
Yeah. When I was at JOL, we always laughed about in Joliet, we always laughed about the casting couch, you know, because there was a couch that was legendary there.
Well, unfortunately, I think that there's a couch like that in many radio stations.
I have heard
things said by some people that I have worked with in the industry that have been around a lot longer than me. And I just, my jaw was just dropped. I mean, like the things that they were still saying in closed doors and you know, it just terrible.
it was something. It was, you know, I can say I lived through it. I survived, you know, I was okay being one of the guys most of the time.
Well, does it seem like that? And that was, when you say that my brain goes automatically to the women that have been successful in broadcast that I know are really good with men, if that makes sense. Like they put up with a lot of crap. Like they, you know, they don't let them sit in their crap that they put out, but also typically can navigate men better than, is that a weird statement to make? Am I?
No, it's absolutely right. Because when I went to JOL, I met Julie Fox, the Fox that rocks. Or the mom that rocks. She was on The Bus, which was a very popular station in the South Suburbs.
I remember The Bus.
And you know, she and I knew each other because we'd both worked in Kankakee. We'd both worked in Morris. We'd both, you know, but we'd always worked at competing stations. When we got to JOL, Tony Ray, who was the program director at the time, he introduced us and he says, "You two are going to get along famously." And we kind of looked at each other because we knew each other, but we didn't. And we sat down and we started talking. And you know what? I was just at her house last summer in Minnesota. We're still friends all these years. We're like sisters, you know, because you know, we were kindred souls. I always said, you know, we put the broad in broadcasting. So, both of us were kind of not too delicate. Let's put it that way. not too easily offended.
So take us on the journey. So you start at Lincoln College. Then where do you go from there? Is that when you went
to college? I go to Morris.
Morris.
Every summer, Morris had a job open for me. They found that not only could I do logs, but I could also do weekends for them. And it always seemed like every time Christmas came around or spring break came around or summer came around, they found a place for me. They found a few hours for me to work here and there. And, you know, I would work there all summer. When I came back to school, I was one of the only kids in broadcasting class that actually had a real radio job at a real commercial station, you know, and they were all like impressed. And I'm like, you know, they just opened the doors for me. There were a lot of people along the way that were very good to me. They realized that I had a good voice. I had a lot to offer and they took advantage of it. You know, And I don't mean in a bad way.
So were you ever full-time while you were in Morris or just part-time?
I was, I eventually, when I got out of college, I went to SIU then. And at SIU, I went to WIDB. We always said IDB stood for We in the Basement. It was in the basement of one of the dormitories is where the station was. So, you know, and when I got out of there, I had job offers from Kansas City, from Texas, from Michigan, from Minnesota. You know, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. And Terry White, who was the general manager at WCSJ in Morris, he said, why don't you just come back to us? Because I thought I wanted to try sales. And he says, you know, you can try sales with us and you can be on the air. You can do both and see if you really want to do sales. But we know you can do on air, you know.
How long did you last doing sales?
A year maybe. I wasn't a salesperson.
It's funny because, you know, you look at the job of being on the radio and I mean, all of us, JC, I know you're in sales now. And I mean, I'm in sales at the moment, but you look at it when you're on the radio, that's you're selling something, whether you're selling the song or you're selling the artist or, you know, the commercials, the sponsors, and you're selling them. You would think we would be able to go out and actually do sales, but that's a completely different animal. It's a completely different thing.
It is different. It is different. And radio sales is kind of a different animal than other sales too.
Yeah. You're selling air. Here's air.
That's it. You know, it's an intangible product. You know, I always felt good when I could go out. And at that time, we handed a customer a cassette with their ad on it because it was something they could have in their hand. And then they could play it and listen to it. You know, it was something tangible for them because, well, you know, they were buying air.
I feel like they should have done what they did in Spaceballs, you know, when they were trying to get air, they should have had Perrier cans that you just opened and sniffed. So when you're a salesperson, you just go to the bar, like, here, I got air for you. Here, take
there
that.
You go. Here's your air. That would have been a good promotion, honestly.
And you sat in that chair, too, as promotions director for a while, too. So after SIU, is that when you ended up then in Morris or in Joliet?
I wound up in Morris full time then.
Okay.
And I worked there until the station changed hands. And Roger Coleman came in. He was one of the owners of the station in Morris now. And for some reason, he just didn't take a liking to me. And he told me he thought that I really probably should find another career. Wow. And I mean, that crushed me, but I kind of saw it coming. So I started looking furiously. And the day that he let me go, I called up Larry Tempe in Kankakee and said, I'll take that job because he had already offered me a job. And so I went there as a copywriter.
Yeah.
And I did production. And while I was copywriter in production, I won 4 Silver Dome Awards from the Illinois Broadcasters Association for commercials that I was a part of that I wrote. You know, I was also on voicing on some of them. And so that was WKAN and WLRT, Light Rock is what they call it, you know. And
Christopher Cross coming at you.
And I was with them for about 3 years. I'd been in Morris after college for about 3 years. After 3 years, I went to Kankakee for 3 years. And then I went back to Morris because I was part-timing in Morris on the air when a guy named Mark Lytle heard me. He was the new owner of WCSJ again. They got sold. And he heard me on the AM station and said, we want her on the FM. Now, their FM was a 50,000 watt station.
Wow.
And it had been country. I had actually worked country when I was there at one point. And he said, you know, we want her for our new FM. the new FM was Super CFL, modeled after Chicagoland Super CFL from the 60s. We were the hits of the 60s and 70s, and we had all the jingles, all the liners, all of that stuff from the Chicago Federation of Labor, and we recreated Super CFL. And that was a really good time. I worked with some of the best people that I ever worked with, aside from the two of you.
didn't you work with Larry Lujack with that, though? Didn't they bring some of the original CFL voices over?
No, they didn't. This was a little later than that.
Okay.
This is the 80s. This is by the 80s now, and early 90s.
Yeah, because I had thought with Super CFL, they had brought like Dick Biondi and some of the original voices back. But maybe I'm mistaken. So
they did that, and then that was the original CFL still.
Okay.
We took the format of CFL and the call letters because they were just out there, and we put them on this 50,000 watt FM station that that boomed into the suburbs of Chicago, at least.
Yeah.
And people just loved it. You know, we did a lot of fun promotions. That's where I learned about promotions, was there. We did things like show us your CFL, and people did stuff like they painted a cement truck with Super CFL on it. They did Christmas lights on their roof of Super CFL. One kid submitted his entry. It was Super CFL shaved into the side of his head.
Wow.
You know, it was so much fun, and we had a blast. And I think, you know, there were some bad times at that place, like the Christmas where the corporate wasn't paying. They were out of Ohio. The group was out of Ohio, and they owned the stations in Morris, the AM and then Super CFL. And basically, the AM and Super CFL were keeping the whole radio group floating. The stations in Ohio weren't doing so well. And they stopped paying things like the janitor. So garbage would pile up everywhere in the station. We had a general manager who was a big Christmas guy. We had a huge Christmas tree in the middle of the office. And one night somebody picked up all the garbage and put all the garbage bags under the Christmas tree.
Wow.
Nice.
Because the garbage people were no longer coming to pick up the garbage.
I think we've all worked for a station in our lifetime that, or maybe multiple stations that have had that, where the janitor service, you know, comes and goes or is not
just
there.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you cut, right? You know?
But it was a fun environment to work in. I worked with some really great people. Tom Capsalis, who is out in Philly now doing afternoons, and Don Bino, and just a lot of great guys. Rafe Sampson, Bob Zach, all those guys were so much fun to work with. And they really, they always say that you either work up or work down to the people that you work with. And I had to work up to them because they all seemed that they had come from bigger stations than I did. They had more knowledge about the mechanics of radio than I did, you know. And I learned a lot from them. I really did. And I felt really privileged to work with them. And I also worked with, I worked on the AM station as well. And on the AM side, I worked with some real legends too. Some people who had been on the air forever in Morris. And like Dick Steele and Jim Murray. A lot of great guys.
I just love that you worked with a radio guy.
Can we just go back
to Dick Steele
for a second? I mean,
I know. Richard Steele was his name. Yeah. Yes. Real name, not an air name.
That's amazing. I met a man once named Richard Head, and I'm like, that can't be your real name. He's like, it's my real name. And he showed me his license, and I'm like, why? Why would your parents do that to you?
Well, Dick was probably born in the 30s.
Okay.
So I don't think they were really thinking about that at the time.
Yeah. So, so Super CFL, I just pulled it up, from 1990 to 1993 was the days
the heyday that I was there. Yeah.
So,
and I was there from the beginning to the end. Yeah.
So you were there for those 3 years. And I always thought it was funny because CFL became the Christian station that it is today. And I think they've since changed the, they're BGL now, right? They changed the calls.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
But,
and then the AM was sold off to, it was the Roots. They owned an FM that they had put on the air in Morris. Just a few years before the end of CFL. And so they bought the AM in receivership because the people in Ohio put the whole thing into receivership. So we were working, we were paying money into our health insurance and they weren't paying the premiums.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's like, you know, people would go to the doctor for, you know, we had one guy whose wife was pregnant, you know, and all of a sudden, the insurance isn't covering any of her visits.
Oh, my God.
Because the premiums hadn't been paid.
Have you ever, this on a side note, have you ever worked for a station where your check bounced?
And didn't yes.
Oh, yeah.
You did, too? You both.
Not for a radio station. I worked for a different place where my check bounced, yes.
Wow.
Several times.
I worked for two different stations where that happened. And one of them was at Joliet, when I went to Joliet, because when I went to Joliet, they were in receivership because they had been owned by Bob Tezak, who was the county coroner. I don't know if you ever remember this story. He was the Will County coroner, and he burned down his own bowling alley for the insurance money and got caught. Well, you can't hold a federally regulated business while you're sitting in federal prison.
Oh, my God.
So
what's going on in downtown LaSalle, speaking of arson, JC, or Spring Valley right now? It's like the fourth fire?
No.
I'm not saying it's arson, but...
Isn't that something? There was
another one today on St. Paul Street. Yeah.
On St. Paul?
Yes.
I'm not with it.
I can't believe it.
Look this up now as you talk to me.
I saw one of the former stations we worked for was sending their top man over there to go check it out. So
that's what I saw. The same one.
400 block of West Paul. I think it looks like a residential area.
West. Yeah, I guess that would be that's probably right by downtown over there though. Yeah, like really close.
Yeah, on the west. Yeah. Because I see a picture on one of the pages and it looks like a residential.
Somebody said something about a couple blocks from Alfano's.
No, like Alfano's on the other side.
Yeah, because Alfano's would be in the 100 block of West. So, because Spalding's the east-west divider.
Yeah, anyway. They're on the east side. They're on the east side. So
yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, so that was interesting because I went there with, I had left CFL because they were in bankruptcy. They were being sold, and I was not being sold with them. So I bounced to Joliet, to WJOL and IROC. And they were in receivership when I went there already. I thought, what the heck? I don't have a job. I might as well go here and maybe I'll have a job when they come out of receivership.
You had a job. They just weren't paying you because their checks were bouncing, right?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. You know, we had a check that didn't clear there.
Was this also the same place where they had to spray for the crabs in the van?
No, that was CFL.
That was in CFL? That wasn't it?
That was
well,
in
I don't
CFL,
know why my brain
yeah.
goes. If you're in Joliet working for the Rock Station and over there, that's probably where the crabs were. But apparently,
you had a jock that spread
an STD all over the vehicle.
There was a morning man at CFL who liked the ladies. And he took advantage of the van as a place to get intimate with them. Let's put it that way. And
you realize we're not actually broadcasting with FCC standards right now.
We're
so
good.
It's okay.
You can go crazy. Jake's fine. Well, he's going to be 18. So
he's stooping all these women in the van. And, you know. And all of a sudden, a bunch of them started complaining about getting crabs from the morning man.
Oh my God.
And come to find out, there were crabs in the van then, and they had to fumigate.
Wait, are they like bed bugs?
Super CFL van. Yeah, yes. I don't know. I didn't have to get fumigated. Would I was a good girl.
We should ask your buddy, Kevin Shapp. Shapp has a high school buddy who runs his own, like, extermination business. If he's ever had to, bring the chemicals out to deal with the crab infestation.
that's wow. Just wow. I mean, I worked at a radio station where I sat every day where a dead guy laid. Okay. But that's another side. That's a completely different story.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Oh my God.
I know that studio.
Yeah.
But,
the reason why that studio was always so dead cold in there. I mean,
yeah.
Freezing all the time.
I know. When I went to Joliet, they were in receivership, but they were sold to Barden Broadcasting. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They owned a bunch of stations in, I think, Wisconsin or Michigan. And they also owned WDND out of Wilmington. But anyway, so they bought JOL, and in comes the general manager that had been my general manager in Kankakee. And he says, oh, we'll keep you. You can write copy for us. Because remember, I was writing copy in Kankakee. I'm like, I'm on the air, you know? So I started looking, and that's when I bounced out this way. And I bounced to LPO and AJK and later KOT.
What year was that you made your way out in this area?
It was just after Y2K. Probably would have been like 01, 02, something
gotcha.
Like that.
Okay. So who, yeah. And then, so at the time when you first moved out here, I mean, that was still, Joe Hogan was still running the ship, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Betty
O'Sadnick and Jim Dornbush were doing, the radio show together, the Let's Talk It Over or whatever it was. And, Joe Hogan was still doing Another Point of View, and Betty was doing Feminine Feature.
That is the best name for a radio show. Every time I hear it, I just think of Summer's Eve commercials.
You know, I know. I'm thinking about bringing it back.
Was it sponsored by a douche product?
It's time for Feminine Feature.
Feminine Features.
It's like, guys, don't listen.
Well, I mean, can you imagine if she would, nowadays, if they started talking about the commercials they show on, like, primetime television now? I mean, some of those commercials they show on TV now would be just perfect for that, I'm sure. So,
if you think about it, Kathy and Judy were blowing it up around that time too. So, I mean, a feminine feature should be, that's pretty progressive for WLPO.
Actually, it wasn't very progressive.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine it was just more things that women like to talk about, not feminine feature that way.
It was supposedly geared toward the women of the audience. Something that would appeal to them. I remember one show in particular that Betty did, and God bless Betty. She was the sweetest woman on earth. But I remember one she did that, and it was about Barbie. You know, because only women were interested in Barbie, you know, and another feminine feature would be about, you know, tanning.
Would it be about was it like making sure your man has a meal when he gets home at the end of a hard day?
It was kind of that way, yeah. It kind of was. How to keep
this is the best way to clean your kitchen sink. Yes. It's fantastic. Who's this?
These are the best vacuum cleaners on the market. Come on.
Maybe Avon. Did she have an Avon guest come? Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Ollie Miller was still doing stuff. I could see that would have probably been perfect on that show, right?
Well, Ollie
jumped on earlier. I don't know if she's still on.
Ollie didn't come to radio until I was on the air. And they sold her a show with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called The Merle Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And Ollie would come in and chat with me for 15 minutes or so, sometimes longer. and we talked makeup. But we didn't just talk makeup. We talked about, you know, skincare for men too, and, you know, you name it. But yeah, it was something. When I first got there, the microphones looked like something out of a 1930s radio station. And the board was, honest to God, they should have donated it to the broadcast museum, because that board was from sometime in the 20s.
No.
It was in that AM studio.
I'm pretty sure that was still there when I started there in 05.
It was kind of a green console kind of thing.
I remember it had the turn knob. I remember that.
Yeah, it was pots, not sliders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked with a lot of pots over the years.
When I was in Sterling, we had dials. The base
jar was a standard in broadcast stations at some point.
I like the dial pots.
You like the pods?
I like the dial pots. That's, I mean, you'd turn them, and then you'd have a little switch above them for switching it to wherever it needed to go.
Yeah, the pods were fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember Don Zukowski.
Welcome to Coffee Talk. This is Don Zukowski.
Don would come in, and he had one chair that he always liked and one set of headphones that he liked to wear. And the headphones looked like something that that you would see maybe somebody in the war wearing, you know, Vietnam or something, you know, those little cans that they would sit on the ears. They had a little wire across them. And he always liked to wear those headphones. And he always, in front of the pods, he looked like he was piloting an airplane, you know, turning those down, you know.
What was the name of his show called? Because he would record it and then it would play on like Saturdays and Sundays. He probably was on more before I was there, but I remember him coming in recording at night.
Boy, you would ask me that, wouldn't you?
Well, it was something coffee, wasn't it?
The Coffee Club.
The Coffee Club. Okay.
It was originally done when I first came there. It was originally done at the Kaskaskia Hotel in the Wedgwood Room at the Kaskaskia. And Don would have guests in to have coffee with it. And the first like week or so that I was there, they sent me to the Kaskaskia to do Coffee Club with Don. And I sat down, and one of the first things Don asked me was, "So, are you from here?" And I didn't know what that meant. I thought, like, am I Native American? Am I?
Do you pronounce it LaSalle or LaSalle? That's all he was asking. That's it.
Spell Pulaski.
He wanted to know, you know.
Is it Pulaski or Pulaski?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's funny. Hold on, time out. It's funny you bring that up, JC, because I watch Jeopardy every day. And Pulaski was on, Kashmir Pulaski was on one of the clues. And I swear, I couldn't believe it. Mayim Bialik pronounced it Pulaski on Jeopardy. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it is wrong.
The Chicago in me that has ruined Pulaski for me. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, see, I had heard Pulaski Street in Chicago.
Yeah.
And when I came out here, it was Pulaski. And I'm like, well, it's spelled the same way.
Well, that's what
I
said.
Then I learned a lot of things were odd in the Illinois Valley, like Ravs. Yeah. Which is, you know, we called those something else growing up, you know.
Are you going to play that? JC's got a pronunciation thing. They're going to butcher this. You can't trust this.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me see. Pull up somebody from Chicago pronouncing a street name, it's going to be Pulaski.
Pulaski.
Listen here, bitch. You're wrong, okay?
Well, I'll do it again. Hold on.
Pulaski.
But it's the south side of Chicago.
Pulaski.
The Pulaski. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, they say tree on the south side of Chicago. Trees come between your twos and your fours.
Pulaski.
Yes, they do. I would love to talk to an old
Pulaski.
School Olak, like from, that was different.
Yeah, this one says Pulaski. From Isabella saying, I don't know if that's the correct version, but So anyway,
I like Isabella. That she's got it right.
Now, my friend was raised in Lamont, which is pretty south side, and he says Nort, south, east and west, Nort, from up Nort. And I'm like, okay.
Like the Great White with the toque? I mean.
Yeah.
I call
that the south side accent.
All right, so let's backtrack to Don Zukowski. I actually ran into Don last summer, or maybe two summers ago, at Rural King. I ran into him at Rural King.
So oh, really?
He was buying stuff. He builds a log cabin still.
He still does. He does that. That's very cool.
Builds them, yes. So, good old Don Zukowski. So, but when we first moved out here, JC, that was 2001 when we moved out here. You were 6 months before me, so yeah. I guess the Kaskaskia was still open. I never went in it. Did you?
Oh, yeah. See, I was in it. As a matter of fact, one of the first gigs that I did was I hosted it was like a retro bridal show at the Kaskaskia.
Ooh.
Yeah, and like people wore, like they showed new wedding gowns and stuff, but I remember Ollie Miller wore her mother's wedding gown in it. And there were other people that wore other clothing that was from, it was yesterday and today kind of fashion show.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, Ollie Miller is actually listening, and she said that the Coffee Club was at Kaskaskia for many, many years.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it was, yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So,
exactly,
even if it is broke, don't fix it.
Honestly, I think Don did the Coffee Club there until he could no longer do it in that building. Until he was no longer allowed in that building. And then he did it from the studios.
Was Don the morning show host when you started there on LPO, or who was doing mornings?
No, Jim Dornbush was
Jim
doing
Dornbush,
mornings.
Jim Dornbush, that's right.
Yeah. Dornbush, was he solo in the mornings?
Yes. I mean, he and Joe Hogan and Lanny Slevin, they were the trio of the morning, you know.
And then were you doing, when did you start the 10 a.m. shift?
Right away when I first came there.
Oh, okay.
Right away, and I took over the clearinghouse.
Oh, God, the clearinghouse.
Because I had done, get this, I did it by something called Radio Trader in Joliet. I did it as something called Tradio in Morris. In Kankakee, it was the Swap Shop. And I did it as Barter Barn, too, at another place.
Did anyone ever call and ask you to try and sell their big black clock? Anyone ever do that?
No, but you know what? This is how innocent sometimes I am. When I was in Morris, people would send write-in items, and I had this one card, and I read it on the air. It said somebody was looking for whisker biscuits, and I didn't know what that was. I was like, whisker biscuits. Well, that's cute. What's a whisker biscuit? I kept saying it on the air. Whisker biscuit. And they're like, man, shut up.
I'm going to Wikipedia that.
I am too.
Urban Dictionary.
It out.
Urban Dictionary. Here, let's go there. Hold on. All right. This is where it gets fun, right? This is when we Urban Dictionary whisker biscuits. Right on the hold on, let me flip my thing over here.
Hey.
All right, Urban Dictionary. Here we go. Whisker. Oh, look at that. It says it right there.
That makes sense.
Hey,
that makes sense.
Put it in a sentence. She tried to sand my face off with her whisker biscuit. Learning with Luann. Think you could do this on your new show?
I'm sure whoever sent it in sat back and really laughed hard.
Yeah.
Because I kept it in, you know, like I would keep write-in items and I would use them to fill in when there wasn't calls coming in. So I think I used it for maybe a week.
That's what she said. I brought up the big black clock because somebody used that on WCMY on Karen Rhodes once. And she kept going along with it, not realizing what was going on for a little while. And we were just like, okay, she has to know this guy's messing with her, right? Because I mean, we're all listening. Like, she has to know, and she just kept going along with it. And we finally went in and like cut this guy off. Like, and then I think she actually filed a police report against the guy.
Oh my god!
So, but yeah,
I had to file a police report once. Did I tell you about that?
No.
When I worked for Super CFL, we had this one guy. I'm writing Super CFL in the sand on the beach. And he was so into Super CFL. And I worked overnights on the weekends because I usually worked on the AM side. But on the weekends, I worked over Saturday night overnight. And which, you know, with a voice like mine, overnight Saturday night, I had a lot of guys crawling out of their, you know, skin. and this guy showed up at the Business and Technology Center, is where the station was. And he called me and he says, "I'm in the parking lot, let me in." And I said, "No, I can't do that." And he says, "Well, I can see a studio," because the AM studio faced the parking lot. It was like a fishbowl, you know, like there was a window to the outside. You could see into the studio. And that wasn't the studio I was in when I was on CFL. And he's like, "I can't see you. I see a studio, but where are you?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm in a different studio." And he's like, "Well, let me in." And I'm like, "No, I can't do that." And I hung up on him. Calls me back and he's like, "I'm still outside. I'm waiting." And I'm like, "Well, you're going to wait for a long time." So I call the Morris police. By the time the Morris police came around, the guy had pulled chains out of his truck and put them around the door handles of the Business and Technology Center and was going to pull the doors off the building to get in to see you.
Did you ever have to go to court for anything because of involving a radio station?
No, I never did.
Yeah, I had to do that in college, but a guy come flying in the studio because he heard some message and he wasn't after me. I just happened to be the guy on the air at the time on the radio shift and he punched his fist through a glass window and...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Broke a chair on the door.
Oh my God.
The best part about that is the fact that Shap was outside smoking and he walked right past him and the door was open and he started banging like the door was locked. He never checked to see if it was actually open.
It was wide open. Yeah.
So like Shap's like running around the station to the back, right? Didn't you run around to the back?
And then we were like, "Is he in the building? Where is he at?" Like, me and this girl Cassie, and we were like, "Where is this? What's going on here?"
Crazy. So
I'll tell you, CFL, because no dead air.
thanks to a 13-minute version of No Quarter from Mud Wrestling. That was covered. So.
When I worked for CFL, that was probably one of the biggest stations that I ever really worked for, because it was marketed as a suburban station, even though it was in Morris. It was marketed as a suburban station, and I had one guy call. Yeah, and like I said, I was working the overnight shift there, and he called me and he says, "I want to meet you," and I'm like, He's like, "I want to kill you. I want to slit your throat and then, you know, you." Yeah.
Hey, Luann, play Misty for me. Right?
I'm like, okay, thank you for your call. Boom.
Yeah, you know, that shit really happens, people. It really does.
Stalkers.
It really happens.
It really does.
There are
really
psychos
does.
Out there.
There are. There
you guys
are,
have
know,
had stalkers. I've never had a stalker, thank God.
Really?
No.
Not that
really?
You know of.
Never had one.
No, I never had one.
Oh, my
I remember
God.
There was a lady that sent me a 9-page letter that handwritten letter, and it ended up sitting in the program director's drawer because it was kept for evidence. And it was like every time you would open his drawer, you would smell it because she had it.
I remember when it was in your mailbox.
Yeah.
Because we were like, what is that smell? And it's like, Chap got mail. And we're like, what?
Some people thought it was really, really funny. And I thought it was
really creepy.
Yeah. I thought it was creepy as shit. Yeah.
Really creepy. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway.
Yeah. So that's weird. I don't know why I never put two and two together that we all moved out here at the same time.
Right.
So
because we were working for competitions.
Yeah. Because you came to
LPO. We worked at opposite stations for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Until we.
And then you guys, you know,
invaded
came over.
You.
Here's something too that I will say this, and I don't know if it's like I don't think it's necessarily like this today. And the longer that I worked, back when it was still Stud, still now Shaw owned stations, but you know, when I first started out there, maybe it was just because I was from the city and didn't know any better. But you know, the strict competition, you know, on the other side of the river, you know. But I will say this: I don't recall too much of the Stud Stills in our time there of them ever being too concerned of what the other side of the river was doing. And I will say that on the other side of the river, they were always concerned about what the other stations were doing instead of just worrying about themselves.
Well, and I mean,
you're right.
What
you're
do you think
right.
about that, Lou? I'll let you address it, then I'll jump in.
I think you're probably right. You know, I had come from a background in Kankakee. We were the AM and FM combo that competed against the bus. You know, and the bus was also a 50,000 watt station, rock station. And we did many things that, you know, that we both showed up at. We figured there was enough pieces of the pie. They got theirs. We got ours. We did charity softball games. We did all kinds of things together. And we always got along with the guys on the other side of the, you know, road basically. Mm-hmm. And when I came out here, I realized how, you didn't talk to anybody. And, you know, and gosh, if somebody left the station and went to the other station, you didn't talk to them anymore. I'm like, they're still my friends. I'm not supposed to talk to them. I didn't get that. You know,
I got accused
of, well, we didn't tell you about this because we know you have friends at the other station. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, you know, when we get together, we don't talk about work. We have more interesting things to talk about than the radio stations we work for.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What were you going to say, JC?
I know Stud Stills, when we were there in the early 2000s, I think one of the big things was, like, they had just acquired all those stations, so it was still pretty new. And I don't think Miller Group and ever really had to compete. And
yeah,
then
that's true.
Stud
Probably.
Stills came in and kind of shook the whole market up. And now they had to compete for every dollar. They had to think harder about what they were doing and what they were bringing in. Because even today, if you look at the stations, the two groups, and you look at turnover, There's some folks that have been at Shaw, you know, Shaw Local Radio that have been there for a long time. But when we were there, there really wasn't. It was just like essentially no. Cowboy and Chad. And that was it. And they had only Cowboy had only been there since like 94. And he came into GLC. And then Chad, they recruited and pulled him from his restaurant job in like 99. And then the rest, there was
Chad, the one that they recruited from the restaurant. I didn't realize
Chad,
that.
No, Chad, Q-Dog, not Q-Dog. Me.
Oh, Chad. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said Chad.
No. Chad was working at that place in downtown LaSalle that you went upstairs, the Trattoria. Is that what it was?
Oh, Trattoria de Pasta, yeah.
Yeah, he was working there, and he was serving Cole and Lee, and they were like, you got a great voice and a great personality. Why don't you come work for us? So they pulled him in right off of, you know, right from the restaurant to come do it. And he was their star afternoon guy for many years and morning guy. So it's like, yeah, but,
I knew that somebody from there had come from, as a waiter somewhere.
That was Chad. And I mean, he was pretty much management when we came in. He was PD when we came in yep. 2000, 2001. And then, yeah, he was, I mean, Chad was there up until like 5 years ago, I think. So, so I mean, they have some longevity, but I mean, there was a thing, you know, where you looked at across town from Stud Stills, you look at what they were bringing in, and it was like, these guys have been doing the same stuff for 30 years, and they're not really evolving or changing anything. And it wasn't until Stud Stills came in and started doing stuff, changing the dials and everything else, that Miller Group really had to evolve itself. And I think,
well, yeah. And, you know, yeah. And it seems like it kind of happened just after I got there. When I got there, I was like astounded at how backward things seemed. and it seemed like the longer I was there, the more it progressed. The equipment got better. The attitude got better. The attempt to promote the stations got better. There was, you know, actual promotions that we did, you know. We gave away a car. We gave away a classic car when LPO had their anniversary. You know, we gave away a 47 Ford. And I spent the entire summer with Jim Dornbush riding around with this car taking entries, and we gave it away. And of course, then AJK gave away Ford Focus and another car after that. And I think a truck after that, and, you know. And so there was like some big things going on there to help promote the stations, which right. I really liked. I was really into that. When I had worked for CFL, I'd seen radio station promotions in action and saw how beneficial they were, how much fun they made radio. And I was all for it.
I remember that right before, because I got there in 2005, and I don't know the whole details, and I don't want to, you know, dig up anything too negative or anything, but I know that there was bigger promotions like right before that I got there, but there was some sort of controversy, I guess, like with the promotions department or the person running promotions at the time. That basically shut down like what the money that they were going to ever give to promotion ever again after that point. So
yeah, there were some problems. There was some, I don't want to say corruption, but there was one person who abused the position that they were in.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the most delicate way I can put it.
Sure, I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah.
And because of that, they took a really hard look at what was going on and
where they were going
to
spend
who had access to promotions budget and how much of a promotions budget there was.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, cause there was a time, I mean, for a while there, we, like you said, there was all these prizes, there was good stuff. And then it got to a point where it was like so dried up. Like you were, hey, congratulations, you won a koozie. You know, it's like, how am I going to get anybody to actually call it and try and win this koozie? You know, it's like, what can you sweeten this
no,
up
with? No, my favorite were the cardboard trivets for your cup, you know, what do you call them? You know, that you put your sweaty cup on.
Oh, coaster?
Coasters.
Coasters. Yeah, the cardboard coasters. Those were my favorite.
Well, and that's, I don't know. When you're giving away $5 coupons, you know, at that point, it's like, what are we doing? However, yeah. I will tell you, I did give away, when we used to get those little free McDonald's things and stuff, the coffees or whatever, those still went fantastic.
Yeah.
We get those little certificates. Because, I mean, at least you're getting something. Like the $5 off coupons, that always drives me crazy. I'm
that was, you know.
That's a non-prize.
It took me a long time of fighting with the... with the sales department that you know, $25 off from a furniture store
is not a prize.
It's not a prize.
It's a non-prize.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, $25 off a $100 purchase is not a prize.
Yeah.
You've
got to be able to get something with that. So, like, there has to be something with that value in the store.
You go out to a remote and there'd be the competition. You go out to something like back when Ottawa did Riverfest or, you know, Streeter, whatever the bigger festivals are now that, you know, all the stations would go to throughout the entire weekend. and mm-hmm. and you'd have like these little tiny trinket things to give away, like here's a chip clip, right? And then the other place would be like, yeah, I've got passes to go to Indiana Beach and Noah's Ark and all these other places. And I'm like, what? I got a pen, you know, like, hey, there you go.
As long as it's not like the Crayola experience at Mall of America for a family of four, then we're good.
Oh, oh my God. The Crayola experience. I was just at Mall of America last summer.
Yeah. So not saying that I might have recently had some of those to promote, but
I was what, like, what exactly is the Crayola experience?
I don't know. It's 50.
Haven't been to the Crayola experience? Oh, no. My God.
But I mean, it's would like, you be willing like to take your kids 6 hours to Minneapolis, St. Paul for four tickets to the Crayola experience?
Well, the Crayola doesn't come with a hotel or anything else. It's like a revved up fun land.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's pretty cool. Okay. I mean, I will tell you. And you have to go through the Crayola experience to get to the big, what did they call it? Fly Across America? Which was really neat. We did that. Like the spray hits you in the face and you fly across as you go over the ocean and the, you know, chairs move and everything. So
it's like
cool.
Disney's soaring.
Yeah, yes. It is. Exactly like that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I shouldn't dog it too much.
It wasn't that bad.
But you still have to
it was.
Drive up there. You have to pay for your hours. Gas and hotel like, and everything else.
Yeah, you got to make it a day if you're going to go for those tickets. So,
yeah. When I was doing promotions at the end, when I was trying to find things to promote for the show, it's like you'd get a deal. Like we would get these certificates for like a hotel.
You know, we just lost Lou. Like,
I see that. Wait. Yeah, I see that. I'm looking now at the...
Well, Cowboy used to teach me something. You finish your story and I'll tell you mine.
We used to get like, you know, like here's a Red Roof Inn to stay somewhere, but it's like we would kind of almost try and find a destination for them to go and then pair it with something. Be like, hey, here's a concert that we might be able to get free tickets for. You know, this one is big enough bands that we play, but also are not so big that it's going to be a crazy in-demand ticket that we're not going to be able to not get a trade out for or something like that, you know? So, and then we pair it together with a hotel and be like, okay, we're sending you to Milwaukee and you're going to get two tickets for this and we're going to throw in a gas card. You know, it's like kind of package it together.
Cowboy taught me the best trick. But again, this is from the CD world, which he would run what he called his jukebox campaign, which he would message all of his labels, tell them that he's getting a CD jukebox and he's going to give it out to one of the listeners, but he needs to fill the CDs, fill the jukebox with CDs. So if they can hook him up with one CD to give away and one to put in the jukebox, then he'll include their artists and stuff in there. So he taught me that trick. So I did that quite a few times, and man, I was able to get so many freaking CDs by doing that. And then also built up relationships with some different promotional outfits, so that way. I think I ended up getting like DVD box sets of like sporting events. I think I got the 05 Chicago White Sox championship series DVDs because of the relationships I made through the jukebox campaign. So that one always worked really good. Today it's like, what is this? You know, who wants a CD? You know,
what is a CD?
I know. Well, and I was having that conversation today. I think, you know, as we continue to evolve radio and what it means, the one thing that I think a lot of the people in broadcast have got to be freaking out about is when the car manufacturers decide to stop putting FM radio and AM radio in our vehicles. And I know
They just do that with AM? Didn't somebody just pull AM stuff?
Yeah, some of the manufacturers are pulling AM. And I think that's going to change it dramatically. I don't think we buy radios like we used to. And you still go into certain businesses and stuff that have the old radios playing. But more and more businesses, when you walk in there, they have curated Spotify lists that they're playing on a daily basis. Especially the newer boutiques, when you got owners that are millennials or younger, they're not putting radios in there. They're putting, and that was our bread and butter, like, you know, walking into businesses, hearing the radio station, going, oh, thank you so much for playing us. Not anymore. It's all streaming. So, like, again, broadcast has to completely think about how they're they're targeting and what they're going to do for the next evolution, because it's dying like newspapers.
There's a lot of restrictions. There's a lot of different rules and laws that go along with that too, though, when it comes to what you can and can't play. In a place that has a business, like, it's technically you're not supposed to be able to just play a radio station. I mean, it would take somebody from the FCC or somebody to complain and file it against you.
Technically, you're not supposed to be playing Spotify either. I mean, like, unless...
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Unless you're paying for a license for it.
At least, yeah. At least radio is licensed already, and they're paying ASCAP and BMI fees. So it should be better for your business to play a radio station than to play Spotify. But who's coming into the boutiques and the little mom-and-pop shops looking to see... You know, who's ASCAP licensed for public performance and who's not?
That's like bars getting dinged for it. Yeah. You know, I mean, you really have out here. Maybe it's not as big of a deal as it would be if you were up in, you know, someplace in Chicago and a night hot club in Chicago. I'm sure they probably definitely would have, lawyer fees and things like that, and people saying, hey, you know, here's the thing, you gotta have to pay up and sign up for, you know, ASCAP and CSAC or whatever else, you know, so. Yeah. There's all sorts of that stuff for you to apply for and make sure everyone's getting their fair share.
Part of me wonders if Lou's phone died because I didn't give her a heads up. She probably wanted to keep her phone plugged in.
I don't know if sometimes the Zoom has got like the limits for how long you can be on a Zoom thing. Oh. So it shouldn't be, because this would have stemmed from yours, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I'm paying.
I don't think that's the case, but you never know.
Yeah, I just texted her to see if she's okay. If her phone just died or whatever. I wanted to tell her, because like one of the things I loved about Lou's show was she would do these recipes, and my brat recipe came from her show. So like, I made brats tonight.
Yeah.
And there she is. So I want to talk to her a little bit about LPO a little bit, and then get to CMY, and then we'll wrap it up for the night. But yeah, her brat recipe that she had, because I would follow. I followed Lou for a little bit, I think. No, I didn't. I followed Jim Thompson when I did LPO Afternoons, because it was
Jim Thompson Ford.
Yeah, because it was Lou from you had your 10 to noon show, and then we had noon to three. Was it noon to three? Was there a noon news show or something? 1 to 3. I don't know. I was on from like 3 to 5, 3 to 6. I had 3 hours on LPO in the afternoon for about 6 months. But I feel like when Mike
was that after I left?
No, you were. I left before you did. So
that's right, you did.
Yeah, I was there. My time was 07 to 2011. I was there for 4 years, and and then left. But I had. Which is hilarious that Charles from WGLC, he just said that somebody recognized him and then said, asked him for a song while he was in line and as he was checking out, he's like, the person said, thanks, JC, as he was leaving. And I'm like, how in the hell are they getting me confused with Charles? I haven't been on GLC since 2007. So,
See, that's the
you
thing.
You know,
though,
I was standing in line paying a bill at Bergner's. When the lady said something behind the register, and I kind of chuckled, and the lady next to me said, you're Luann Lindsay. And I said, yeah. She says, oh, I knew by your laugh.
Wow.
And I thought, do I have a weird laugh? Is it odd? No, no, it's just distinctively you. And I'm thinking, I must have a weird laugh, and I don't realize it.
Well, they're just
but I would have people do that. They would hear my voice and they would recognize me my voice.
I'm sure because you're at Jeff Perry during the week doing customer service, when you call people for their cars and stuff, they know exactly who you are right away, right?
Many of them do, yeah.
Yeah.
The first thing they'll say is, first of all, I got to tell you, I really miss you on the air.
Yep.
I used to love to listen to you.
The thing about WGLC and WLPO and WCMY, these stations that, you know, have been around for a long time, they've had an audience that's been built and baked into it, you know, who it's always on. They get up in the morning and they have their cup of coffee and they read their newspaper or whatever they read that's still available. Maybe now they're scrolling their phone, but they still have their radio in the kitchen and it's on that station.
Exactly.
And it would not surprise me that somebody that you haven't, even though you haven't been on that station in over a decade, JC, that somebody that it would do that. So it's really hard for these stations to try and lose. They want to be able to progress and update and change, but they have an audience that is basically just dying away. But the people that they have aren't going anywhere as long as they're alive. You know, it's a real hard balancing act to pull. And I'll give Starve Rock Media credit for, you know, all that they have tried to do to try and change that. I mean, it was a long, long, arduous process before they finally were able to see some headwinds on that.
And I think out of the market, and I keep saying this, I mean, props to them, because I do think that they are the only one. And I'm going to piss off people doing this, but they're one of the only ones who, when something happens in especially the Illinois Valley, I'm going to use that as the identifier. When something happens in the Illinois Valley, four letters come up every single time. It's where they go first, because they've made that reputation, they've delivered, and they don't let their listeners down in that aspect. Exactly.
And I, you know, I have to give them credit for being able to keep that up, because they've always had an excellent reputation for being where something is happening. And they still, like you said, they still do.
And I mean, people can put it on Facebook or social media and stuff, but LPO always delivers on air too. And I think that's a tribute to them, that even that, you know, that's starting to train the next generation that this is your go-to. When stuff gets ugly, this is where we go. You can go there online, or you can go there, go to the radio station to hear them talk about it. So
the unfortunate thing is now that they're not going to be putting AM radios in cars, that AM radio is going to die. And fortunately for many of the stations, they have been able to get a lower powered FM, you know, that they can. Most are simulcasting on, and the idea was to give those stations more coverage so that they could be on all night. They could, you know, cover a broader area. And the AM is going to just dissolve, I'm afraid.
Are you seeing that at Jeff Perry too, with your GMs that are coming in, the Buicks and stuff?
They've already announced that, really? A lot of new cars are not going to have AM radios. They've made that announcement. All of ours still have AM radios, I think, that are on our lot, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, if you're selling
Buicks. But,
sorry.
But in the next year or so, we're going to see them all gone.
Yeah.
From the new models, you know. And that's kind of what's happening to radio. You know, it's the other thing that's happening to radio is the AI institution of radio, in that they are able to take your voice, my voice, Shap's voice, and basically clone us and make us say whatever they want us to say. I don't know if you've done any research on the AI stuff, but it's a little scary.
Oh, I'm already there. Spotify,
are you already?
Yeah, I use AI for everything. But it is kind of wild, because especially, I mean, you can use in video now. You can take a dummy and do a explainer video, and I can plug in exactly what I want that model to do for me, and it will do it. And you will have a human face and voice looking like it's a real person, and it's 100% like AI generated. So
yeah. are you real? Wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
Are you real?
Pinch yourself. So let's kind of bring everything full circle. So you were at LPO. We talked a little about ZOE earlier, low point, but then went to Jeff Perry. Now, how many years have you been off the air? 6 years?
About 10 years.
You haven't been off the air 10 years.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I've been at Jeff Perry for, I'm going on my 8th year there, and I spent some time at Ann Taylor selling really expensive clothes to really bitchy women over the phone. And And I spent some time in the hospital and, you know, and things like that. And so, yeah, it's been about 10 years since I've been on the air. And I'm back on now, just weekends.
Okay.
And you're on a station now that has the FM relay. So even if, you know, AM radios are not in cars anymore, at least they could still get you on the FM dial.
Right.
Or on the app for the station. Right. Or whatever that is.
I'm at 93.5 and 1430. WCMY, and it's WCMY.com, 1430 WCMY.com. You can check it out. I'm there on the weekends in between the Sox games.
So
and this is not the first time that I've been preempted by the White Sox, by the way.
So it's Sundays?
Saturdays and Sundays. It's supposed to be like noon to 6. But if there's a game, you know, I'm on either side of it or, you know, whatever.
Do you still do your recipes?
I have not brought the recipes back. But it's a possibility. I might bring back a feminine feature. You never know.
Luann, you are
brought
wonderful.
Brought to you by Vagisil.
And you know what? I really enjoyed working with you in my, you know, short time that I was at Miller Group. I always considered you an amazing friend, and I'm happy things are going well for you.
Well, I always enjoyed working with you and Shap, both of you, because although you're considerably younger than me, at least 10 years, you didn't treat me like I was an old lady, except for Shap, who once told me that CBS was the old people's network just after I got done discussing what I'd seen on Survivor.
I didn't refer to you as old. I referred to CBS as the old person network.
After she talked about her watching it.
Hey, I now watch the... I'm not watching the...
I thought someday... It's coming. It's going to come back.
I'm not watching the CSI 8000 spinoff or the NCIS stuff. I still
am
not.
I'm not watching that either, but I still am watching Survivor.
You know, I finally came around to Survivor. Survivor's really good. It took me forever.
And Big
it took
Brother.
Me like 40 plus
Brother
years
still.
To finally watch it. But I, or 40 plus seasons, I guess. But I finally caved and it's really good. I like it. So,
a Big Brother. I'm still a Big Brother fan. Amazing Race.
Yeah.
I'm a CBS watcher, I guess. I like All About Todd, or what is it? Todd. Help me, Todd.
Do you watch Todd? Ghosts?
I don't watch Ghosts. I watch So Help Me, Todd. That's about all. That and, like I said, the reality stuff.
Oh, it's a legal drama.
It is.
So Help Me, Todd. I didn't even know what it was.
So Help Me, Todd, it reminds me of L.A. Law a little bit.
Oh, it's got
who's Todd? Todd Bridges? Or
no, Skylar Astin? Is it like, hold on, is he related to Mackenzie and the Astin family, or is it his kid?
I don't think so.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, is he a...
Oh, Marcia Gay Harden.
Marcia Gay Harden. Yeah, I'm looking at the
cast now. And she's good. She's really good.
Oh, that's the guy. He was in Pitch Perfect.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was the main guy in Pitch Perfect.
Yep.
This guy.
And yes, I'm still watching all the cooking shows that are possible.
Yes.
There's so many of those.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I had to start weeding them out. You know, I watch Top Chef. My favorite right now is Chow House Alex Gornishelli. And they're in Italy and they're competing to get mentored by them for, you know. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Where did I see that on? Chow House. I just saw that the other day.
Food Network.
Flipping through
channels.
It's
the Food Network.
It is,
check it out.
Yeah.
If you haven't ever watched it, it's really good. It's really good. It's done pretty well. Like, I always thought Top Chef was done really well. And it reminds me of kind of in the era of Top Chef. Yeah.
Have you seen Nailed It on Netflix?
Yes, I have.
Okay. That's the that is the best cooking show I've ever seen.
Very good. Very good.
Man versus food. Jake likes Man versus Food.
I just remembered you.
Oh yeah. Okay.
We've got a radio person tuned in here actually right now on the live feed on social media. Becky from the front office over there is listening in.
Hey Becky.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
So. Good to see you back.
Becky took me to Ozfest with her.
Nice.
Becky and I and her fiance at the time all went to Ozfest together, and it was one of the best run concerts I've ever been to.
Back when you probably could go to Ozfest for $40, so now
it might have been more like 50 or 60, I think. But it was we saw a lot of great acts, and
Are you going to go get tickets for Riot Fest, JC?
I am Riot Fested out after last year.
Yeah.
So I had heard that apparently Sundays are the nights for the old people. So apparently if I go to Riot Fest, I'm going back on Sunday. That's not only when the old people go to Riot Fest, but it doesn't mess up too much with our CBS Sunday night viewing.
I was going to say, you watch CBS Friday and Saturday, then Sunday you go to Riot Fest.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. There you go.
There's rumors this year, and I have no proof of any of it, but one of my friends told me that there's rumors that Foo Fighters, Queens of the Stone Age, Smashing Pumpkins, and
what?
Somebody else is playing there. There's I think the Foo Fighters are too big for
Riot Fest. They are too big for Riot Fest.
I mean, wow. Nine Inch Nails headlined it, but I think Foo Fighters are bigger than Nine Inch Nails at this point in their career, aren't they?
The Foo Fighters are bigger than Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because Nails did Sunday last year. Yeah.
I was all excited. I saw that at Pierogi Fest, the Smash Mouth is going to be there.
Fantastic.
They were one of the Rock and the Runway artists for Luz La Grotto, the same year with the Gin Blossoms and the Bacon Brothers. So
wasn't that one of the first? And I met Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. I always wanted to meet Kevin Bacon, and I met Kevin Bacon. I was so excited.
Randy's watching now too. Randy's online here as well.
Hey, Randy. Friend
Lou. Yep, Randy's on there. Julie's been hanging out for a while, so
Julie is the fox that rocks, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Had a feeling she was commenting a lot when you were talking about things. So you were talking earlier.
She's the fox that rocks. She Julie, it's funny. Julie and I worked at JOL and iRock together, and our voices are very similar. Mine's a little more bouncy, and hers is a little more sultry, you know. And we did some Turk furniture commercials together, and it sounded like Julie had a split personality. It sounded like the happy Julie, the sexy Julie, the happy Julie, the sexy Julie. When we did commercials together, because our voices were so much in the same tone that it was kind of like, since Julie had been there a lot longer than I had, everybody thought Julie had kind of lost her mind and had personality disorder or something.
I always remember, not at CMY, but not even LPO and AJK days, but going back to the old Studstill days of getting commercials we had to cut for either the Silver Slipper or Heartbreakers Gentleman's Club trying to convince a girl to come and do a sultry voice. Because none of the air staff either wanted to do it or had to do it. And we ended up getting a good one from the front office girl at the time. Michelle was really good.
Oh, that's right.
She would do a really good job with that.
Heartbreakers.
Yes.
I will never forget Bob Zach. When I worked with Bob Zach at Super CFL, Bob Zach had the classic big, ballsy male voice. And they asked me and Bob to do a commercial. It was for a restaurant in Aurora, and a White Horse restaurant or something like that. And it was a very upscale restaurant, very she. And we did a very steamy commercial together. It was, oh, darling, such a special evening and da 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 da, you know. And the thing was, the two of us both got like real sweaty. I remember both of us were like, okay, is it hot in here or what? Because we were both really into it.
Well, and I then, think that's a good note to leave us on.
I say, and then afterwards you found out that the van had crabs.
Yeah.
On that note, guys in the radio, not on the radio, signing off for these.
Yeah, how about it? Luann, you're amazing. Appreciate your time tonight. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you had a good time.
Such a pleasure. You guys are great. I loved working with both of you. Like I said, you never made me feel like an old lady, but your day is coming. Trust me.
We're already there. We already feel like old ladies.
You see that gray in his beard there? I mean, come on.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. You know, we can touch that stuff up, JC.
I know, I'm sure. But then everybody would know. Yeah, you don't want to see me without a beard. It's terrible.
Yeah,
you did. I shaved once during COVID, and my wife Heidi was like, "What did you do?"
I was bored. It was so COVID. Like,
you know, it's a male push-up bra is what it is.
I still can't grow one, so hey, yeah. Whatever.
And you know, I had to keep my mustache in check all the time.
Make sure you use what was the name of that that thing you had on the swap shop? The whisker what?
The whisker biscuit.
Yeah, you biscuit. Should if you could find a way to do a whisker biscuit recipe on your afternoon show on a Saturday one day. I mean, just throwing it out there.
You guys don't want me to be on the radio for very long, do you?
Oh, there's a band called Whisker Biscuit.
There has to be a band. So that's a great
right
band
here, Whisker Biscuit. They have an album. Hold on, real quick, and then we're done. All right, right here. They look like a metal band. Look at the way their name is here. The name of the band is called Whisker Biscuit. The name of the song, Kill for Beer.
That looks like that seems appropriate for a Whisker Biscuit. Yeah. Yes.
Raw and pissed off, only like the Canadians can do.
Oh, God.
Canadian metal. Fantastic.
Oh, boy. Canadian metal. Yeah,
the name of the band, Whisker Biscuit. The album is called Canadian Tuxedo. And there you go.
I love this. That's fantastic. Anyway, thank you so much, Lou. Have a great night.
Hey, you guys, you made my night. Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.